B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, well, nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, as I said, been very light on the Bruins the last 3 months, and for good reason. F them and what happened there in Game 7. But the season is upon us, and if I'm being honest, I told you this earlier, I am at my heart a little hockey dork, Bruins fanboy. I like watching hockey. I'm glad they're back. I'm going to have the TV on tonight watching Bruins. I just like it. So I'm ready for it. It's an interesting year for them. I'm not expecting much. I wasn't expecting much last year, and then everything fell their way. You know, they're a good team, good regular season, and then you got into the postseason, and all the good teams dropped. I mean, it was really unbelievable when you think about it. Tampa, Washington, Pittsburgh, San Jose, Winnipeg, Nashville, like any good team.
The Bruins didn't have to face any of them.
Any good team, east or west, boom.
Calgary. Wasn't Calgary the President's Cup trophy winner?
Did they win it?
I think that's right.
So, like, any favorite, quote-unquote. Anyone who would be favored over you lost, and you ended up being favored in every series, I think. You're favored in the cup final,
weren't
you?
I think that's right.
So anyone that you would have lost to fell. And so I thought, okay, the Bruins were a good team that got on a nice run, and everything broke their way, and so they went to Game 7 of the cup finals. But now here we are the next year. They're being back. You know, they're back to being that good team, not great team, that's going to have a lot of traffic in front of them, a lot of teams that are better than them. And they're going to sort of fall back to the pack. That's what I think. That's what I thought. And then I just started reading up on the season and the league, and I was stunned by the power rankings and the Vegas odds. Do you know, people, that according to the odds makers and according to the national hockey experts, I'm not talking about like local hockey bobos, Bruins bobos. I'm talking about national hockey writers and Vegas. You are a consensus top three, top four team in the league. Again, I'll just give it to you again real quick. Power rankings, Yahoo Sports. Tampa 1, Bruins 2, Vegas 3, San Jose 4, Toronto 5. NBC Sports, Tampa 1, St. Louis 2, Bruins 3, Capitals 4, Colorado 5. Sports Illustrated, Tampa 1, Bruins 2, Toronto, Vegas, Nashville. NHL.com, Tampa 1, St. Louis 2, Toronto 3, Bruins 4, Vegas 5. You're like a consensus top three, top four team. You buy all these power rankings. So what are they worth, right? You can wipe your butt with them. They're just media people. So how about Vegas? How about people whose financial standing is actually based on, it actually has something at stake? So the odds makers, right? We put our faith in the odds makers. Bovada. Tampa 1 at plus 700 to win the cup. Toronto 2 to win the cup at plus 850. Vegas is 3 at plus 1,000. Bruins 4th, plus 1,100. 4th, according to Bovada. The Westgate. Same thing, a little bit different order. Tampa 1 at 6-1, Vegas 2nd at 7-1, Toronto 3rd at 10-1, Bruins 4th at 12-1. Vegas Insider, similar. Tampa, Vegas, Toronto, then Boston, Colorado tied for 4th at 12-1. So what? They're considered an elite of the elite by the odds makers and the national prognosticators. Is that right?
Feels too high to me. Feels too high. Again, I look at the Bruins and I sort of feel like, well, they're a good team that got a great road to the cup last year and it opened up for them and they made a run. And, you know, but they're not as good as where they ended up. And yet I was just looking at the regular season stats. Not that that's the be all and end all. I mean, other than Tampa, nobody had more points. Calgary had as many, right? So, like, I wonder if.
Tampa didn't win the President's Trophy?
Tampa did.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It wasn't Calgary.
But Calgary and the Bruins finished tied for second. Calgary had one more win. But once they were eliminated, the Bruins had home ice throughout. That's what I think Murray was
right,
getting confused
right, right.
with.
Right, right, right. Got it.
Right? So, like, on the one hand, I look at it and I say, well, the rest of the country's overrating the Bruins. And then I look at it, when I look back at the regular season standings, I start to think, maybe I'm underrating them. But what I'm worried about ultimately is the combination of their best players getting older, and the big one is the fallout from that loss. I mean, the physical and emotional fallout.
I don't think there's any question that I think the second thing is the thing to look at. Because so now when I circled back and started looking at rosters and the player movement, which I wasn't keeping track of, the Jets lost people, the Penguins lost people, Pavelski, like these sort of things, I wasn't paying attention. So now I look roster to roster to roster. I think you might be the fourth team. I mean, I think Tampa's definitely better than you roster-wise. I think Washington is definitely better than you roster-wise. Vegas, I don't know as well, but everyone says they are.
Well, and they get stoned now for a full season.
Yeah,
right?
and then I think it's you.
I think you can make a case for Toronto. Toronto still has that Maple Leafs gag thing that you can factor in, but on paper, I think you can make a case the Maple Leafs are better than the Bruins.
Their forward group is great.
I mean, they're loaded up front.
But on D, you're still better, and in net, you're still better.
Tuca.
And I'm leaving out Game 7 of the Cup Finals out of all of this, because who wants to go back there? But I think you still have Toronto in back, defense and goaltending. So I don't know. I mean, Toronto's close. There's certainly, yeah. I think that three of the top 10 teams in the league are in one division. So
you might be able to say three of the top half dozen.
So a lot of these power rankings are Bruins, Toronto, Tampa. You know, they're all there. So that's a big thing to look at too. Your schedule's going to be hard playing those teams, and et cetera, et cetera. But I think that talent-wise, they might be one of those teams. They might be. Maybe the league is flattened a little bit with some of the player movement and the cap and all that, which is real in that sport. But how do they respond to that loss? How do they respond to that loss? I told you before, the last team.
This stat's unbelievable.
To lose Game 7 of the Cup Finals and win the Stanley Cup the next year is the 1956 Montreal Canadiens. The last team to go back to the Cup after being in a Game 7 the year before was Detroit. And they won the Cup 1 year and then went back the next. But the last team to lose Game 7 one year and come back and win the Cup the next is the 56 Canadiens. So it just doesn't happen. The stat, everyone losers of Game 7 in the Cup Final. There have been 9 Game 7 losers in the Cup Final. All 9 lost in the second round or earlier the year before, since 1971.
You mean the next year?
Exactly, the next year. Since 1971, the next year, the team that lost Game 7 of the Cup Finals failed to move past the second round. So there's reams of data like that in history that working against the Bruins. I think it's real. The mental and physical toll of climbing all the way to the top of that mountain and then having to get to the bottom of it, look back up it, say, we're going to do this again?
Yeah, and crank it back up.
Just to crap our pants in Game 7, we'll shut it down in December instead. I mean, that's usually what happens.
So they haven't even dropped the puck yet. So factor that in for me now. I'm talking about me. Like, I see it. I feel it. The way I look at it, I can't see any way they get back there. I can't. I mean, the only way to me that it happens is that the whole sort of DNA of the team changes and the hierarchy changes. So you are not relying on Bergeron, Krejci, and Marchand anymore. All of a sudden, McAvoy and Carlo become a dominant D pair, and maybe
DeBrusque, Pasternak.
Yeah, right. DeBrusque becomes a 30-goal scorer. Pasternak becomes a 50-goal scorer and gets tougher in the postseason. Or Anders Bjork comes out of the woodwork. It's got to be somebody who's new.
I'll put Charlie Coyle on the list.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, Charlie Coyle emerges. I still think they need a kid to emerge. A Bjork, Frederick, someone like that, deeper on their depth chart in Providence. I still think they need one of those kids to pop. Or Kuhlman. This Carson Kuhlman is going to start on the second line. You know, he was on the team at the end of last year. They need another someone to emerge in the forward group. I like them on D, but I agree they need to sort of change the. Well, that's one way to do it. That it becomes more of McAvoy's team than it is Chara's team, which is stupid because Chara is such the leader, but.
No, but in terms of,
on ice,
and yes,
ice time and all that. But there is another thing. Okay, so the motivation of losing Game 7 the next year, it can weigh them down and serve as an anchor and get them to bail out early because they don't want to climb the mountain again. Or, and I don't expect this to happen because it usually doesn't happen, but it's motivation. Boy, did we blow that one.
Like 2010.
We left that on the table and we're not going to let it happen again. Losing 4 straight to Philly after being up 3-0, motivated in the next year. And so this time, Bergeron says to himself, Krejci says to himself, Chara says to himself, this is not how I want to be remembered. This is not my legacy, blowing that game at home. And we're not going to let that happen again. And it's going to motivate us. And we left that one on the table, and this year we're going to go get it back. And that feels like a stupid movie script. It doesn't feel realistic, but that's the only way I see it, because it's usually the other thing. You meet some resistance in the middle of the year or in the first round of the playoffs, and it's like, are we ready to do this again? I'm not. And never mind the fact that they're an older team in a lot of spots and beat up physically. The mental thing of it And you saw what happened to the Capitals last year. They met that resistance in the first round, and that's it.
Yeah, we don't want to do this again.
Okay, we just can't. We're not up to it. And that's usually what happens. Unless there's that special sort of rare thing that, nope, we're not letting last year happen again. And that's the only way I see it.
See, I just wonder, though, I still think that on some level that's got to come from the younger guys. Because I think the thing I worry about, I don't have a problem with their leadership. In fact, I trust their leadership. I trust Bergeron. I trust Chara. But, boy, they've taken a lot of punches. They've taken a lot of punches. And at some point, it's just like, you know, you just get beaten down. And it's going to take someone like a McAvoy, again, or a Carlo, or, you know, DeBrusque, or whoever. You mentioned Coyle, Krug, someone like that to say, yeah, listen, you have a cup. I don't. And Krug, I heard Krug say this on the morning show today, and it didn't occur to me. Krug's been here for two losses.
Yeah.
He wasn't here for the win. So like, you know, someone like that is going to have to pick it up. Because if it's on those older guys again, I don't like their chances.
Never mind the more obvious stuff, like can you get another year like that out of Rask? He hadn't really done that very often, put together round after round after round, and I'll leave out game 7. But he was really good for you, and he carried you. You expect that again?
No. I don't. No. Last year was their shot. I'll come around. I'll get over it. But, I mean, I don't see them getting back there and winning that.
Okay, so...
I mean, at the end of the day, he was still the top-ranked goalie in the playoffs last year.
Yes. Yes, he was.
He was number one.
Yes, he was. There was some talk of even him winning the... Pathetic, but you know he should win the Conn Smythe even in defeat. No, sorry, the best two-way forward in hockey. Do you hear what I said? The best two-way forward in hockey. Ryan O'Reilly won that one, as well as the Selke, as well as the Stanley Cup, the actual cup. So maybe we can stop overrating Bergeron just a little bit. Maybe that might help a little bit, and Cassidy can stop leaning so much on that first line, or I don't know, maybe break it up, because that's the reason you lost the Stanley Cup, the Bergeron line, not Rask. Or really anything else. It was the first line. So maybe spread them out a little bit. That's one thing to consider. So that's your Bruins reset. That cat scratch fever or wide right fever. What are you calling it, Murray?
Well, it depends on the situation. Again, if it's in Buffalo, it'd be wide right Buffalo. But yeah, no, it's suck kick fever.
Hey, that Ted Nugent to the Patriots. All of that. Your calls right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
For sports, Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The part that's hard is during the summer, you know, people come up to you and I love to talk hockey, and it's, you know, and then there will be that person that just kind of gets you on the wrong day, like, what about game 7? It's like, Jesus, we got to go through this again, huh? So, but, you know, all in all, I think that the best medicine is getting back to work with the guys. They've, you know, that they're back. Everyone's back. We're relatively healthy. We've got a couple guys that are still injured, but those are from last year. So we got through training camp for the most part. Kretch is a little banged up, but he's going to be good to go, I think, Thursday. So I think just being back together and working again is the best medicine to sort of move on.
Bruce Cassidy with TNR the other morning. Catch the replay on 95thesportshub.com or the app. Has all of our replays. Miss anything, you can always catch it there on the podcast or the replay. So that's just biggest, to me, it's the biggest issue on the team. It really, that whole lingering thing of getting that far and that close and coming up short physically and mentally. You know, a lot of old guys.
I mean, and you can totally understand it, right? Like the, you know, 2 months, you put your body through that. 2 months, you win game 6 to get game 7 on your home ice, and then you lose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, talk about a kick in the nuts. Like, you got to live with that one, and then it's okay, guys, let's crank it up and do it again. For what? Like, you can totally understand that can happen.
All right, so how do they deal with that? I think that is the number one issue on the team, but not the only one. So we can discuss this the final hour and the Nugent thing, whatever you want. It is up to you. John in Norton has been waiting very patiently to talk Bruins. Thanks for hanging on. John, are you still there?
Yeah, you got it. Hey, I appreciate you talking Bruins. When you started the show, I wasn't quite sure if I was ready for it, but now that you're talking about it, my juices are getting flowing. One thing I want to talk about is when Coach Catfish left us and went up to Montreal and Cassidy came in, he let the reins off the defense. And one player in particular is Kevin Miller, who I saw really take advantage of that and almost was a power forward going into the zone. My thought is that if once Greslick got crushed, his head crushed into the boards in game two, if Miller was ready, I think we would end up winning that series because of Miller's offensive play. You guys want to talk about Miller at all?
Sure. Well, just sturdier. I mean, all that. I mean, you got beat up by St. Louis.
Absolutely.
If you had a little more size or grit back there, if you had McQuaid or Miller, if you were constructed a little bit more like you used to be, you could have stood up to it. But instead, it was the Lilliputians out there between Krug and Grizzlick and Connor Clifton. Tough kid, but undersized.
Yeah, and they all look again. I told you I was more impressed with Krug last year than I've ever been at any other point in his career. But there's only so much you can do. So my only issue with Kevin Miller is, can you really bank on him?
No, he's going to get hurt.
He's never healthy. And again, I don't know how you blame someone for getting hurt. It's not like his injury was some sort of thing he wouldn't fight through. He had a fractured kneecap for quite a while.
That thing was brutal.
I mean, really, like, it's not like you begrudge him for it. But at the end of the day, playing the way he plays, he's not going to make it. Here's in all probability.
TJ in the car on the Patriots. Hi, TJ.
Oh, hey. I just came to talk about how you guys were saying how, you know, the Patriots have proven themselves as being good and all this. But in reality, they haven't faced anybody. And they have five games coming up where they could lose every single one of them.
So, TJ, do you think it's possible that they could go 0-5 during any stretch in this league?
Listen, Ravens, Browns, Cowboys, Eagles, Chiefs. I'm not saying they're going to go 0-5. No, they're not.
Thank you.
But they could easily lose three of those games or four of those games, and you got this new field goal guy. You don't know
who TJ, I don't see them going 1-4 against anyone in this league.
I have a hard time.
Unless it's a five-game series against the Chiefs, and even then, I like them in five. Like, there's no where and when are they going 1-4? Where are the teams that they can go 1-4 against?
I was just going to say, I have a hard time believing they come out of it anything worse than 3-2.
4-1 at worst. I mean, it's, come on.
I mean, the idea of them having a losing record in that stretch to me seems preposterous.
All of a sudden, they're going to lose to Freddie Kitchens at home?
Right. Give me a break.
Cut it out.
No, it won't happen.
Cut it out.
Yeah, it won't happen.
And so
they're too good.
So it's Chiefs at home at Philly. I'll say they split those.
Dallas here.
They're going to lose to Jason Garrett at home? Remember, there's coaching still going on here. There's coaches that have to. Jason Garrett has to come in here and nut up and outwit the Patriots. Do you think Jason Garrett has that in him?
No. No, and again, I think, it's also going to be incumbent upon Dak Prescott to win here. And
I put more faith in Prescott than I do Garrett.
I don't put faith in either one of them, not in Foxborough.
The last time Dallas came here, they had a chance to beat you, and Garrett tucked his junk up underneath his legs.
He totally
did. And chickened out at the end of the game, remember?
He did. He totally did.
It was a bled the clock or played for a field goal when he had a chance to close you out?
Exactly? He ran the clock. He ran and tried to take time off the clock instead of throwing for a first down. He gave the ball back to the Patriots, and they won.
So I don't remember exactly. It was something like that. He chickened out. So there's still that. I mean, they may not go
to Freddie Kitchens
at home. Yeah, let's lose to Freddie Kitchens at home.
And look how some of these new guys, the new head coaches, act around him before the game. McVay, who is a good coach, how he acted at the Super Bowl. What do you think Kitchens is going to do? I'm in awe of you.
Martin on the Cape, thanks for hanging on. What do you got?
My Bruins' concern is we have still yet to see how the Jacobs new six-kid ownership jamboree responds as far as spending and meddling. You know, say come big contract time or free agency time, if the Bruins have specific needs, we just don't know yet. These kids could drive Neely and Sweeney nuts.
It's a big picture question. There's no question about it. As spotty as Jeremy Jacobs' ownership was, over the breadth of his ownership, since he got his salary cap, we could say he was fine. You know, he didn't get in the way. Jeremy Jacobs hasn't gotten in the way of you winning since he got his salary cap 15 years ago. He hasn't. He got in the way before. I'll grant you that. He got in the way of you winning in the 80s and early 90s. Yep. But since the lockout, he hasn't gotten in the way. I have no idea what the kid's going to do. And if there's six of them, Like, but is that going to crop up this year? Your roster's set. The payroll's set. Like, this year, it's not an issue. Over the next decade or two, yeah, ooh. Let's see how that plays out.
Yeah, I mean, over time. It's going to take time to fight.
Exactly.
You don't fight right out of the gate.
Max in the truck, your thought on, I'm already calling him Ted Nugent. Mike Nugent, go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? So out of all the guys that they bring in, they sign this guy. He's awful. I think they should have signed that guy, Josh Gabel. He's a soccer stud. I saw his highlights. He hit an 80-yard field goal with more to go.
Okay, so is this the trick shot guy that they did have in this?
Yeah, that's Gable. Guy, Josh Gable, I think.
So has he ever played football?
I think he played in one of the indoor leagues, didn't he?
I have no history.
Yeah, I think he did. And again, I don't know if it was in, I heard them talking about a little bit about it on the midday show. They're some crazy, I don't know if it was Arena League or what.
So look, I'm not looking for some gimmick, which is what I consider this guy to be. Even if he played in the AAAF or the XFL or the CFL, like, let me see him play some actual football. So I don't want a trick shot guy. I don't want a YouTube star. I don't want a female soccer player. Can I get a kicker, please? Like a kicker? So, but it doesn't have to be anyone I've ever heard of. There's a million guys coming out of college, very few good NFL jobs. Don't tell me there aren't other guys out there who can kick. I was hoping it'd be a no-name guy with a huge leg and an empty head. Instead, we get Mike Nugent, who's got a little teeny tiny leg and a head full of crap from all the kicks that he's missed in his career. I don't love it.
I'll tell you, but I don't mind the idea of signing someone to the practice squad at the same time.
Which is kind of what they've done.
Yeah. In other words, and Murray, you're going to have to help me again. What's the guy's name again? Koo?
Oh, Younghoe Koo.
Younghoe Koo.
Yeah.
So, look, if you want to tell me that they want to get a guy, you know, on the practice squad, work with him a little bit, see what it looks like, and then they're going to replace Nugent in a week or two, fine. Like, I'm okay with that, too. Nugent's not the answer. And I looked up that Dallas game. It's exactly what we thought. Dallas had the ball with 3:36 left, leading 16-13. Run, timeout by the Patriots. It was third down. They ran again. The Patriots, they ran on 3rd and 18.
The biggest advantage you have in this league is coaching, by far, because there are other good quarterbacks. There might even be some out there better than Brady. Debatable. There are some other good defenses. There might be some defenses out there better than yours. Debatable. But between the Bears and some other teams, there's other teams that can play defense. Name a coach that you can debate me on with Bill Belichick.
There isn't.
Not even close.
Yeah, again, the Cowboys had a chance. They ended up punting. The Patriots went down, scored a touchdown at moment 22-7.
So I don't care how much talent Dallas has. The coach still has to come in here and do the right things. And I have no faith that twerp is going to come in here and do the right thing.
And in those five games that the caller mentioned, like maybe Andy Reid, but even still, he'll find a way to screw up the clock while he's looking at the Cheesecake Factory menu the whole time.
Yeah, my point. Here comes the update. Again, if you haven't heard, the Patriots have signed the new kicker. The information comes right here. Your reaction to it comes right after.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Filger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nugent is ready. The crowd gets quiet. The snap is perfect. The kick is up. It looks good, and it is...
No!
No good!
No!
He missed it!
Oh, no!
Nugent misses from 36 yards out.
Pushed it
and
right.
And the game ends in a 37 all tie.
Missed it, pushed it right. Oh, my gosh.
And Nugent's PAT is no good.
Man, got to have those. Got to have them.
Mike Nugent, 19 for 20 on points after. Harris spirals it back. Huber puts it down, and Nugent's kick hits the upright. It's no good. Nugent's kick is on its way, and he missed it again.
Wow, hit the upright again. Hit the upright again. Wow.
the right upright in both instances. And the Bengals have left 2 points on the board. Whoa. And Nugent's kick is a dribbler. It'll be scooped up by Cleveland. This could be a two-point run back for the Browns. 45, looking for somebody to pitch it back to. Throws it sideways.
How about that?
And Croft makes the tackle at the 50-yard line. So a sixth missed extra point from Mike Nugent.
Sorry, we played it again. Sorry. I enjoyed it. I just like the reaction of those guys in Cincinnati.
Oh, that guy in the background's unbelievable, the color guy.
So, anyway, we have one funny Antonio Brown. Funny now, because he's not your problem, Antonio Brown story. But I just want to grab Tim and Brockton real quick on the Bruins and Patrice Bergeron. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, Felger. So you say Ryan O'Reilly's the best two-way player in the league. I'm wondering how that could be true for...
He's better than Bergeron.
All right, so... I'm wondering how that's true for a guy who just had his first plus season since his first year in the league in 2009. All right.
Well, yep. I'm not going back through history, but Bergeron's had a better career. Who's a better player right now?
How can you be the best off 1 year? He's done it 1 year.
How can?
You ever heard of a guy named Jonathan Toews?
Yeah, he's great, too. I love Jonathan Toews. We'd take him any day of the week. Great player.
Can I get one more point in real quick?
No.
Ryan O'Reilly would have to average.
No. I want to stick on your point. Did you watch the Stanley Cup? Because someone took home the Conn Smythe Trophy, the actual Stanley Cup, and won the Selke over Bergeron. So you tell me, how does Bergeron lose to Ryan O'Reilly in the Selke, the Stanley Cup, and the Conn Smythe, and still be the better player? How?
I'm not taking anything away from what he did in the Stanley Cup. Like, he balled out. I'm just wondering how one series elevates you to the best in the league.
How about season? Ryan O'Reilly had just as good a season as Patrice Bergeron. Patrice Bergeron had 79 points. Ryan O'Reilly had 77. Ryan O'Reilly was a plus 22. Patrice Bergeron was a plus 21. Ryan O'Reilly played 82 games, scored 28 goals. I think Bergeron had, 32? 28. They scored the exact same.
Bergeron played fewer games, though.
Bergeron played, you're right, he played, I'm sorry, Bergeron had 32 goals in 65 games.
Yeah, he missed a lot of games last year. Yeah.
Ryan O'Reilly also finished higher than Bergeron in the Hart voting.
Ryan O'Reilly was 13th in the Hart voting. Patrice Bergeron was 17th in the Hart voting. So it feels to me like someone definitely had a better year. Who had a better career? Bergeron has had a better career. But that wasn't the point. The point is, who's the best two-way player in hockey? Because I still hear people around here calling Patrice Bergeron the best two-way player in hockey. How can that be when he just got beat out in every way you can imagine by another two-way hockey player?
Not to boil it down to these terms, but, you know, because there are other factors, but would you trade Bergeron for O'Reilly right now?
Yes! O'Reilly's 4 years, 5 years younger.
28.
O'Reilly's 28.
Might be 29 now.
Bergeron's 33. He's 5 years younger, and Bergeron's got this hip thing that
groin.
Well, hip groin, like it comes up to the hip.
Yeah, could be sports hernia. Yeah.
Yeah, like that sort of thing where,
scary.
I don't know.
I'm worried about Bergeron again. They had to manage it already.
And I'm not sitting here telling you Bergeron sucks. I'm just, this is one of the things that set me off reading some of the previews. Joe Mack and The Athletic, who I love. Good guy, mediocre at pool. You know, Maz, he's not that good at billiards.
No, we cleaned his clock.
Joe Mack says, you know, about Patrice Bergeron and the best two-way player in hockey. It just rolls off your lips. Like, he's the best. It's just a cliche. Really? I don't know. Were you watching? Did you watch? If he's the best two-way player in hockey, how did he get his ass handed to him when it mattered the most last
year?
Okay,
so look, you know, Bruins fans would answer that by saying he was hurt.
So was O'Reilly. Broken ribs. Brian O'Reilly had broken ribs. Just as hurt as Patrice Bergeron. Maybe more. Who knows? I'm sorry. I'm someone who, when it's on the scoreboard and the results are there, then I have a hard time with it. If we're arguing the future, you know how I feel about that. I think that's stupid in the first place. Who's going to have a better year, Ryan O'Reilly or Patrice Bergeron? I don't know. But I can tell you who had a better year and who was a better player at this time when the results are there. That's why they have the thing in the corner of the room, the scoreboard. It's why last night I had to watch St. Louis lift the Stanley Cup. Their guy was better than your guy. Why can't we accept that? God, that's annoying. Meanwhile, Antonio Brown, not your problem anymore, so we can laugh at this. What's the latest here, Murray? Good.
All right, so the deposition in Antonio Brown's luxury high-rise lawsuit allegedly went so bad.
Wait, just to clarify, which lawsuit are we talking about now? Because there are multiples with him, right?
This is the one down in Florida, the condo that he was in.
This is the condo lawsuit.
So this deposition went so bad that the opposing lawyer has filed a motion detailing the exchange and now wants another deposition to happen because of how Antonio Brown acted in this initial deposition. So among
meaning how bizarre he acted.
Yeah, yeah. So among the highlights, here we go.
And can we say downright uncooperative and arrogant? But anyway, go ahead.
Well, Antonio Brown allegedly arrived nearly 30 minutes late to the deposition. He acted belligerent and pugnacious, refusing to answer the most routine of questions despite there being no objection to the questioning coming from his counsel. So pugnacious, quick to fight, right, Matt?
Yes,
yeah, okay. I believe that's correct, yeah. It stems off a pugilist.
He chanted over and over, as if a mantra, a narrative of his own warped concept of the proceeding. I would do anything for that audio.
Was he saying, like, this is bullcrap?
I am not guilty.
This is bullcrap.
I like that, yeah.
This is bullcrap.
Antonio Brown allegedly acting as if he was above the rule of law. He proceeded to make a mockery of the deposition process. His antics were so unreasonable that barely 20 minutes into the deposition, his counsel asked for a break so they could speak with Brown about his demeanor.
His counsel.
Yeah.
His lawyers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When the deposition resumed, Brown began texting on his cell phone. Shocker.
Hey, what up, G?
Regardless of multiple requests from his own counsel.
He was replying to another lawsuit on that text chain, by the way, but go ahead.
Brown continued texting. After approximately 20 to 30 minutes, Brown required another break. When the deposition resumed, he increased the level of obstructive behavior. At one point, he refused to answer any questions, instead saying, next question no less than 10 times.
This is bullcrap. Next question.
Soon thereafter, Brown started announcing a countdown, starting at 5 minutes and counting down the minutes thereafter.
Like what you do with your kids at the pool.
4 minutes left.
You have 5 minutes. We're leaving in 5 minutes.
Down to three.
And then before noon, Brown left the conference room. Also, according to the allegations in the motion, Brown's lawyer waited a few minutes and then left the proceedings and then returned and announced that Brown had left and volunteered to the effect that counsel could now file its motion for sanctions. Just please tell me how you would still want this guy here.
Well, what makes you think he would still be here? I mean, again, it's like, so you think Robert jumped the gun or the Patriots overreacted or, you know, people like us drove him out of here or whatever. What makes you think that there wouldn't have been something the next day, the next week, because there's continued to be still, we're just not focusing on it because
he's out of our lives.
He's out of our lives.
Not
right.
Our problem
good,
anymore.
Good way
but,
to put it, Mari.
But it's still there. The stuff's still happening. So what makes you think he would have made it? He's on this path of self-destruction like I've rarely ever seen.
Well, look, again, this is proof that he wouldn't have made it. And again, this is the one about throwing the furniture off the balcony. Murray, correct me if I'm wrong. There's video of it.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Oh, I thought there was video of it. Maybe I'm wrong.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, I thought there was video of this. So maybe I'm wrong. But even so, like, this isn't even the big one. This is about him throwing furniture off a balcony in an apartment building.
It's about him, and I'm not even sure if it is the same one. It's about him, basically destroying his
yeah, causing nearly $100,000 in damages to the luxury high-rise condo.
So I'm not sure if that's the same incident as him chucking the furniture off the balcony.
Oh, that might be different.
Yeah, I mean, he's being sued by the grandpa and the two-year-old kid that he almost clocked, almost hit on the pavement as he was throwing furniture off the balcony. This is like a separate thing. I think his landlord or is the owner of the condo unit or whatever, someone's suing him for ransacking his place. And this was his response to it.
This guy's just the worst.
Piece of garbage. It was not going to last.
He wasn't going to make it. But this is what we said that week leading up to it. Like, as soon as stuff started coming out, right away, and this was after the Miami game, he's not going to make it. This guy is not going to make it. And the fact that he lasted as long as he did is a borderline miracle only because they brought him in the first place. And had he stayed here, he'd be gone a second time or a third time. They would have ejected him how many times by now? He wasn't going to make it.
And believe it sounds like we're rooting against him. Do you understand the content factory this guy was? If we could follow him every day?
Oh, I know.
Oh, woof. Hello? We wouldn't be talking about the place kicker, I can tell you that much. So, I personally, professionally, from this seat, I miss the guy. But what are you, nuts? You think he would have made it here?
No way.
Speaking of the kicker, Steve in Rockland on the kicker. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah. So, when Paul was first talking, like, I wanted to take my pants off the way he was lambasting you guys because, you know, y'all deserve it. Good for you, Tony. Like, you actually walked it back on your take on the kicker.
I'm a man.
You are a man.
It was a disappointing.
Do you know how people... Nah.
It was. Yeah, Maz was a quitter.
No, well,
Felger, you are the one that stands by everything you like. You live by everything you say. And for years, you have been the one that has stand by Gostkowski. Do you people know how bad, this is more a Nazi, you guys, even though Jim Murray, like, you should know how bad football is. You watch bad football. But do you people know how bad football is out there and how bad the kicker game is? It's terrible. And like, what are you talking about? It's so bad.
Okay, so I'm just going to let you go. We quit rambling on.
Yeah, hey, Perillo doesn't think the kicker game's bad.
Maz walked back all the bad things he said about Gostkowski over the years because he now misses Gostkowski, which is just such a give up, which is just such a take surrender. I it's so disappointing. Seriously.
What do you want me to do? Like, admit that he's worse than Kai Forbath or Kaimi Forbarn or
say that
one of the...
No, here's the fact. That as much as we're teasing Mike Nugent, you know, because he's got a spotty history too, that Gostkowski's been so inconsistent that you might as well have Mike Nugent. There's going to be no appreciable difference because Gostkowski wasn't coming through. So what are you afraid of on the new guy?
You sure about that?
Yes.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not.
Oh, look, Mike Nugent can go 10 for 14 on extra points. No problem.
You but sure has about that? Steven Gostkowski ever done this?
And oh. Nugent's kick is a dribbler.
The dribbling the extra point.
And the other thing is...
I would say Gostkowski at least can kick from plus 50, can he? Because Bill went for it on 4th and 8 as opposed to kicking a 53-yarder in excellent conditions last week in Buffalo.
Okay, so this Gostkowski I'll give you.
So that's what, but this is the Gostkowski we're dealing with.
Okay, but so then it's reached this stage, but I'm not telling you I'm unhappy that they put him on IR or anything of the like. I'm just telling you I miss the real Steven Gostkowski. If all of a sudden we've settled on this guy, Jamoke.
When was the real Steven Gostkowski last year?
Okay, I'll still take the last year's version over Mike freaking Nugent.
There might not be much of a difference. But believe me, if there is, well, I'll pounce. I'm waiting for the hindsight. I'm waiting for him to succeed or fail, and then I'll weigh in.
Tell you what.
Other than that, we're just going to facilitate, Jimmy.
Okay, I'll tell you what. If Nugent starts making
kicks... I'll have my opinions in question.
If Nugent starts making kicks, and it's not so bad, I'll get on Gostkowski.
Yeah, you see? Here's a final word right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. No,
can I offer a quick make good to Del Frisco's, please?
Please do.
Because the way it's printed here, Havartian. What is Havartian toasted focaccia? No.
That is made with Havarti cheese.
I think you said Havatron.
Okay, so.
I think it's a transformer.
What it says.
Havatron.
Megatron.
What it says is Havarti on toasted focaccia.
So it's a typo.
But the Havarti and the on are so close to each other that it looks like
Havartian.
But it's not. So when you're at Del Frisco's, make sure you check out their rainbow poke bowl. And that's pokey or poke?
I think it's poke.
It's poke.
Poke.
Okay.
Check out their rainbow poke bowl. And again, this is confusing too, because then it says or a king salmon. But no, it's not or a king salmon. It's with Aura King Salmon, Ahi Tuna, and Heirloom Cauliflower, or our Maitake Mushroom Melt. Is M-A-I-T-A-K-E, is that Maitake, or?
I don't know.
I've never heard of those mushrooms.
Maitake Mushroom Melt with caramelized onions, and Havarti on toasted focaccia. The Havatron toasted focaccia?
The sworn enemy of Optimus Prime, it's Havatron.
It's Havatron toasted focaccia?
It's not. It's not a Transformer.
Yeah. When does Gordon Ramsay host the show next? That's what I want to know. This guy.
The most important thing is that you visit delfriscos.com for locations and reservations.
Havarshian. I'll have the Havarshian focaccia, please.
The Havatron toasted focaccia.
All right,
Havarshian, is that what he said? Do that again.
Havarshian, take me to your leader. The Havatron toasted focaccia. Yeah.
Starscream, Havatron.
My favorite Havarshian.
Well, as the Bruins open their season tonight, Felger opened today with issues with the Bruins.
Fred, Rhode Island, Bergeron still the best. No, he's not. He just got beat by a better player. Go by the results on the ice. Scott and Southie, Bergeron still the best two-way player. You people are pathetic. He just lost and got his ass handed to him by the guy who won the Selke. And you're still going to play this game? O'Reilly won the Selke, not you. O'Reilly won the Cup, not you. O'Reilly won the Conn Smythe, not Bergeron. Those are the facts of what happened. But Bergeron's still better. Oh, I hate Bruins fanboys the most. Because I expect more from you. I expect it from the Green Teamers. That's the Green Teamer experience. And don't get me started on Patriots fans. Lost causes. I still have this delusion, that Bruins fans are a little tougher than that. And have a little more hair on their balls, if you know what I mean. And when one of your guys gets outplayed and loses, you can say it. Can you? God.
Nah, I don't know. The Patriot fans still irritates me.
No, they do, but they're lost causes. Bruins fans, did you just watch who has the trophies? The Selke, the Conn Smythe, and something called the Stanley Cup. It ain't your guy who got his ass handed to it. Did you watch the series? Oh, but Bergeron was hurt. Ryan O'Reilly played with a sports hernia or a groin thing all playoffs long.
You have two broken ribs or something?
Or something, yeah. Sorry, maybe it was broken ribs. Something. He was hurt too.
Whatever.
He's a player, that guy.
He's better. It's okay. He's better. Maybe that's part of the problem. The first step to solving a problem is admitting you have the problem. Just admit it, and then we can move on. So we'll continue this all day. Our Bruins previous show. And we actually did.
I bet you he knows how to pronounce Havarshian focaccia or whatever the hell it was.
Jones, that's a take right up your alley, is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about it. Bergeron hater.
Is he even the best Bruin? That'd be my question. Is Bergeron even the best Bruin?
Well, he's better than Marchand. He's not. So that's dumb. That's where you expose yourself.
Oh, that's the one.
I got some rankings that back me up there, Felger. I know you like your little rankings that you were given, to your little power rankings and stuff.
What sort of rankings? Are these like Corsi 4 and Hennessy and
no,
crap like
just,
this?
Just player rankings.
From who? From where?
The same sites you use yours. NHL, ESPN. I heard you using your websites over there. If they're okay for you, they're okay for me.
Well, no. Are you using something like Fangraphs? Some like sort of advanced analytics bull crap?
No. Rankings. Player rankings.
Okay, so
Patrice Bergeron, no longer the best Bruin, which I've only been saying for a couple of years now. Score one for Hockey Jones. Meanwhile, you know who I miss the most? You know who I do miss the most?
Ho.
It's been a while since I've seen Havarshian Lynch play for the Seattle Seahawks. I always thought Pete Carroll should have given it to Havarshian Lynch at the goal line. That would have been the way to go.
Delfriscos.com for more information. That's the most important thing. Here comes Jones. Unfortunately for you, bend over, Boston. You get him for an hour and a half before the Bruins. And Arcand, who's powerless. Yeah, who could get in front of that?
We had a caller today, Pac-Man, that says you need help.
Only one?
No, that's a good point by you.
Maz, we'll see you tomorrow for an Agenda Free Friday.
Yes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.